Paul McIntyre on ABC Radio Hobart and across Tasmania.
Vanessa, before our line cuts out, whale hair. What's this? I've never heard of it before.
Yes, they do have hair, and I'm sure many listeners have never heard that either. Whales have hair. So if you've ever seen a photo, and to see it, you'd have to be very close to a whale. But the humpback whale, I'll use an example of the humpback whale, which many of your listeners are probably familiar with. Right now, there's the migration occurring. So there's whales out there to be seen. They, on their face, have these funny little pimply things called tubercles. And a tubercle are those, they're kind of little bumps, and we don't exactly know why they're there or the purposes they serve, but it may be a result of hydrodynamics, so to glide through the water. But what we do know is on these tubercles, there's a single strand of hair. Now, dolphins also, when they're born, they actually have hair. There's another fact. They've got kind of like these little whiskers, and then they're lost as they get older. Now, the theory is, and I've spoken to a few scientists about this, is that they have hair because it's obviously they're mammals. It may be a remainder of what they once lived on land, so they still have retained hair. But another suggestion is it may be a tactile function. So when a young calf is little, the hair may be able to help assist with tactile interactions with mum, also finding milk. There's a lot of different theories, and I've spoken to a few scientists about this, but essentially they do have hair, and it may just be a remnant of being a mammal and living on land at one stage of their lives, or at least their history, their paths, their ancestors living on land and making that transition back into the ocean.
Vanessa, in the whale world, is discovering whales have hair the equivalent of discovering the dinosaurs had feathers?
Oh, potentially. I've never been asked that question.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, that's you really got me thinking there, and this is good, and this is why I always welcome chats like this. Potentially, although we sort of the feather thing and the bird things, that would be more of a, oh my gosh, because you're talking about birds being dinosaurs and not all reptiles flew, essentially. And not all reptiles that we have here on land. When I think of a reptile, I think of a snake or a lizard. I don't necessarily associate that with something that does fly. So, yeah, potentially. Depends on how you look at it.
Vanessa, we've had a text from Grace, who's texted in on 0438 922 936. She's been inspired by your conversation and asks, I'd really like to do something to help protect whales. What can I do? Who can I write to?
That's a really good question, and that's a very, very big point. In fact, just a couple of months ago, I gave my very first TEDx talk, which is talking about the ocean, and this will be available online hopefully very soon. And I was talking about this research that I've done and the research that many people around the world are doing, and I didn't want to leave the audience going, oh my gosh, I have to be a scientist, I have to be a drone expert, I have to do this and this to make a difference. I actually finished my talk by saying, what can you do, and telling people that they don't need to be what they think they need to be. So my response to Grace would be that, Grace, to make a difference, everyone can start by doing simple things, because we need to think about our actions on land. So our actions on land definitely play a big part on the ocean. So the first thing you can do is, this is small steps, and I believe small steps will hopefully make big differences, especially for our ocean. One of the first things you can do, Grace, is have a chat to your family or your friends about some of the things we were talking about the importance of whales. And actually, whales play important ecological roles in the ocean. They poo, they eat food in one area and they poo in another area, which means they're moving nutrients from one part of the ocean to another. They breathe the same air we breathe. They swim the same water we do. So they're kind of like a canary in the coal mine. So you can start to raise awareness. Another thing you can do, Grace, is be very aware of your actions at home, so you can not pour rubbish down or chemicals down the drain. You can use recyclable plastics. One of the other things you can do, and this is not even having to donate money to anywhere, one of the other things you can do is highlight the fact that, and tell people, if people are at parties using balloons, not to release balloons into the atmosphere because that ends up into the ocean. Use recyclable plastic bags. Those are the little steps that you can take, and by having that discussion with others about the importance of these marine animals and our marine environment. Another way you can potentially get involved with some of the science is by looking at, and depending on where you are, looking at some of the citizen science studies that are going on. And there may be some citizen science work around whales in your area. It's all about getting onto your local communities, looking at Facebook to see if anyone's doing certain work. It may be a case of emailing a research scientist. I'm happy to pass on my email to you, Grace, as well, and I can have this conversation with you. It's all about asking questions to people and trying to do your best to make a difference for these animals. And although that kind of sounds a bit corny, the reality is that we can all do our bit to help make a big difference in the ocean, and especially to do our bit for whales.
Dr. Vanessa Perotta, thank you for your time this evening. It's been truly enlightening and inspirational.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.